Welcome to the Line Life Podcast. I'm Jeff Postlewaite of T&D World, and today we're bringing you more stories of the grit, courage, and inspirational teamwork that it takes to be a line worker.
Thank you for tuning in to the T&D World Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. My name is Amy Fishbach, and I'm the head of content for T&D World and also the host of the Line Life Podcast. Before I dive into today's episode, I invite you to become part of our Line Life podcast community by searching for the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app or going to linelife.podbean.com and clicking follow in the top right. We air interview-style episodes on the first and third Fridays of each month and also audio stories in our In Case You Missed It series featuring articles that appeared in our print magazine on the second and fourth Fridays of each month. If you have a comment on this episode or a suggestion for a future guest, please reach out to me. You can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Lineman World. I'd love to hear from you. Now let's move on to today's episode. Welcome back to the T&D World Line Life Podcast. Today, I'll be sharing a bonus episode with our Line Life podcast listeners, and this episode was originally aired for the Line Life sister podcast, the T&D World Live podcast, and it features one of the speakers for the T&D World event for 2026, Chad Schimpf, who's a journeyman lineman for Ameren, Illinois, who's very instrumental with the annual safety and training conference during the International Lineman's Rodeo Week. And if you've attended this event over the years, you've probably seen him in the front of the room introducing the speakers and kind of helping with the flow of the event. And for this episode, he sits down with Nikki Chandler, the editorial director for T&D World, and he talks about his own personal injury story. And years ago at the International Lineman's Rodeo Safety and Training Conference, I sat in on his own personal injury presentation in which he shared his story of how he survived an injury. And now he's helping to educate the line workers through the Safety and Training Conference and by also being a speaker at T&D World Live. Now I'm honored to feature this interview that Nikki had with Chad that again was originally on the T&D World Live podcast.
Welcome to the T&D World Live podcast today. I'm Nikki Chandler. I'm editorial director, and our topic today is really the most important topic in utility operations, and that's safety. We had Chad Schimpf, operations safety supervisor at Ameren, Illinois, with us today, and he has a great story to tell. And we were talking a little bit before. I really appreciate his message, and we're kind of doing all we can to help him get that message out to the industry. In fact, he's going to be speaking at our event in September in Orlando at T&D World Live, so we're excited about that. And, you know, we're just thankful that he's giving us some time today. So, Chad, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we know that you spent 20 years as a lineman, and you could talk to us a little bit about that. And now you have been operations safety supervisor for the past 5 years. Am I right on that? And then can you kind of briefly walk us through that journey and what drew you into getting into safety leadership?
Yeah. So I was a coal miner for 10 years there in Southern Illinois, right out of school. And a friend came up to me and asked me, you know, hey, do you want to be a lineman? And at the time I was like, I really didn't know what that was, you know? So he explained it to me, and I was fortunate enough to get the call to go to climbing school. I worked out of the IBW Local 702 for several years before I got hired on as a lineman at Ameren. You know, went through that journey there, worked my way up, you know, to being a foreman and a one-man truck. And then at that point, that is when I had my incident. And then I went back to being on the crew as part of my punishment, for what happened. And then I had the opportunity to, come over to the safety department after several years.
Okay. Yeah. And we want to hear about that, that incident, of course, being in leadership now, and we could talk about this a little bit later, you are the chairman of the safety conference for the Lineman's Rodeo too, right?
Yes, ma'am. I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, yeah. And that's we work with that event as well.
Yeah. So, part of what I did after my incident pretty quickly was went around the company and spoke about what happened and why it shouldn't have happened. And then that just kind of branched out to speaking other places. You know, mm-hmm. I've been all over the United States talking about it, you know, and trying to promote safety and doing the right thing. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to speak at the International Lineman's Rodeo and, you know, became good friends with Kim and some others there at the conference. And evolved into now I'm not only the chairman, but I'm also the MC as well. So it's a great opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see you out there this fall. That's actually takes place. The convention takes place where I live.
Oh.
And then of course, Bonner Springs, the fairgrounds up there is just, you know, a little bit north. So that's an exciting event for us every year. So I'm glad that you're involved in that. Let's talk about the incident and what kind of got you to where you are now. You have been very open about it, and it's 7,200 volt electrical contact. Can you share what happened and, you know, what stands out most when you think back on that?
Yeah. So, you know, Ameren gave me everything that day to be successful. And I chose not to use some of those tools, and it resulted in my incident. You know, most of our policies and procedures through OSHA, through companies, they're, I won't say written in blood, but they're written because of something that happened, you know, and that's what happened. You know, now good things have came out of this. I know it's hard to believe, mm-hmm. but way more positives have came out of this incident than negatives.
So, yeah, kind of do you mind walking us through the incident a little bit? Or
no, absolutely. So I was what was called a one-man truck. So, you know, we had a power outage on a Sunday. Little hesitant to take the call because I'm very involved in my church. But I went ahead, you know, that's our job as linemen, is to, you know, restore people's power. I always say, if my grandma was out of power, I would hope that somebody would take the call, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I took a call Sunday morning. Got there, you know, roughly around noon, figured out that we had some three-phase underground and that we had one phase was de-energized. Get there, open up what is a live front switch cabinet, realize we have a fuse blown, call for extra help, you know, to get the one-man trucks there. You know, we decided to leave the switch cabinet energized. A friend of ours in our line room actually owned the grocery store that this was fed off of. And so we decided that we wanted to leave it energized. Mm-hmm. We should have de-energized it, but we did not. You know, that being said, without pictures and some other things, you know, to really explain it, when I went to, we got done, the crews did a great job, you know, repairing the cable and everything. And I went down to the switch cabinet by myself and went to re-energize it. And upon doing that, I slipped and fell into the hot switch cabinet. 7,200 volts went in my left hand and exited out both of my big toes. I've got some pretty powerful slides, you know, when I do this at TND World to share with everybody, but it was pretty terrible incident.
So as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, it's just terrible at the time, but being able to learn from that and then being able to get the message out is kind of the good that comes out of that.
It is, you know, yeah. And the company asked me early on, hey, do you mind speaking about it? I'm glad they mm-hmm. did, you know, because for me, getting back to work, I mean, this happened. I was literally in the burn unit for 24 hours, went back to work the next day. Now, I didn't go back into the field, you know, because I had my wounds and stuff, obviously. But got back in the room with the guys, you know what I mean, and just tried to have some normalcy in my life, you know, because there was a lot of stuff going on in my head. I didn't know, you know, what was going to work out in the future, my health, my job, mm-hmm. All kinds of things. So, you know, the company asked me to speak about it, and I did, and it just evolved, you know, into something bigger and better. Very fortunate that's how it played out, because I am able to share, my story and my testimony. And, if I'm able to help one person make a good decision that they may not have made, then it's all worth it.
Yeah, and I mean save a life, because that's wow, it's amazing that you're here to talk about it.
Well,
So
yeah, I mean, you think 7,200 volts, there's not very many people in our industry that's had that one walked away from it. Two has their arm or leg or their foot, or whatever body part that was affected. I'm very blessed that I don't have, as far as I know, any effects of that, physically. Mentally was a challenge for a long time, but I feel like I've gotten over that as well.
I mean, there's a lot to the mental part of it too. You think, oh, you survived and that's great, but yeah, there's a lot that comes from that. And even with line workers in general, in the environment that they work in, we actually just did some coverage of mental health and how important that is for line workers because they aren't always ones to kind of seek that help if they need it.
Yeah, and it was tough, because linemen are very prideful. Anybody who knows linemen are very prideful. And it hurt my pride. I hurt my family. I hurt my friends. I let down my coworkers. I let down my company. So there's a lot that goes on that people don't think about, because you never really think it's going to happen to you, right? And then it does, and you don't understand all the stuff that comes with it. I didn't know my long-term health, if I was going to live. I didn't know if I was going to live till the next day. I had to call my wife and tell her that I didn't follow some rules that I should have followed. Then you got to talk to your kids and tell them, hey, make the right decision every day, do the right things, right? But hey, guess what? I took some shortcuts that should have ended my life, and it didn't. And then, I'm very thankful that I didn't lose my job. The company probably could have easily got rid of me. But I was a good employee, up to that point. Made some bad decisions that day, and probably made some bad decisions and had gotten away with them for a while. And that's the thing. I think we all do. We all take chances, right? Sometimes, and we don't have to. And that's part of the big thing about my conversation, is not taking those chances.
Yeah, so let's get into that a little bit. We know that you've said in presentations and in your message before that that's how we've always done it, is this mindset that we all have it. Not all of us are dealing with that life and death situation, but it's a mindset that you set have said that needs to go. Where does that mentality show up most in utility work, and why is it so dangerous?
Well, the trade is evolving daily. I mean, we all talk about continuous improvement, right? Well, all these utilities, and the co-op, we're all evolving. The equipment in the field is evolving. Vipers, Trip Savers, I mean, everything's getting smart, right? The tools that we're able to use are evolving. Our trucks are evolving. So our training and our education and the way we do things has to evolve as well. We have to close that mindset of, yeah, I know there's a new way to do it, but this is the way we've always done it, line work's about 100 different ways of doing things, right? But we have to figure out what is the right way to do it, and we have to know that it's okay to do it that way.
So, let's get back to a little bit on you. So you'd mentioned that your company gave you those, they gave you the tools, they gave you the safety equipment, and I know Ameren's great about safety, and so many utilities are. But you said choices still played a role. So I mean, that kind of evolves from that. Oh, that's how we've always done it mindset, and then the changes. But you need to adapt to those changes because they're there for a reason. That's not always an easy thing to say. You're so honest. So, what can you tell others in this field? What can they take away from that honesty? Like, what would be the message to them on being able to face those things?
Right. Well, number one, I mean, we have to understand we're not all perfect, right? Sometimes we maybe need to make another phone call to get help to help us, out in the field, if we don't know exactly what we're doing. Companies, I think, need to start at the top down. I think leadership needs to, let their workforce know that it is okay to do the right thing, and then to back it up, to not let it just be lip service. Invest. invest in training and education and cultures. You know, cultures is a big
Culture,
thing
yeah.
here. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, we have to invest in those cultures. And, you know, when you have safety meetings and you bring people in, the leaders have to be at these meetings and they have to say, hey, it's okay to do the right thing. You know what I mean? If you don't know what that is, call somebody else, you know, get some more help, try to figure out what that right thing is so that we can all go home the way, you know, we went to work that day, because one wrong decision in this trade, it's not very forgiving.
Yeah, I mean, and that's so true. Like you say, not just paying lip service to it, because, you know, at the corporate level, and, you know, you'll be presenting to a lot of different people at T&D World Live, a lot of different various roles with utilities. But, you know, they can talk about safety all day long, but it, depending on who your foreman is or who your leader is, you know, what is happening there in those meetings, like you said, and just even day to day.
Well, and it has to be boots on the ground too. You know, when you have your tail board and, you know, you have your job brief discussion, the leaders, they need to make sure that they have a good job brief paper to go by. You know, we talk so much about, you know, in the trade that the conversation of the job brief is what makes you safe, not the actual job brief itself. But, you know, we've been involved with EEI, you know, with the HECA and ICONS and trying to teach, you know, safety recognition and or hazard or safety, high energy assessments, hazard recognition. So that the tail board, the conversation is good, but the paper is also there for us to follow and help us as well and trigger things, right? And that has to come from the companies. They have to make sure that those conversations are being had and they're good conversations.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about a little bit about your recovery. You said you were at work the next day, but the actual recovery was a lot longer than just that, you know, getting be able to get back to work as far as, you know, mentally, physically, everything like that. What can you maybe pinpoint a time in that recovery or a moment when your perspective kind of really changed and even your role in it? Because you said you didn't know what was going to happen. You didn't know about your career. You didn't know anything about, you know, when and how did that kind of start shifting? Was it a moment? Was it over time? What?
Yeah. So, you know, whenever this happened, I got suspended for 30 days, you know, with no pay. And thankfully that I had that, right? I mean, I could have, you know, could have gotten terminated. But I, you know, I had a lot of time to reflect on things. You know, when I came back, I got bumped back from a one-man truck to being on the crew. And, you know, had a lot of gut check moments, you know what I mean? And it took me a minute. I went back to work and, you know, I was, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but you know, I was working and things were, you know, it took a while. I mean, it took me a while to get back in with the guys and, you know, and grab hot energized primary, you know, again, and, you know, trust my tools and equipment and, you know, make sure I was doing everything correct. And so, you know, it took a minute, but I just had a gut check one day. I'm like, you know, I want to do something bigger. You know, I want to try to really take my story, because I've been, you know, I had been going around talking about it. Understand that I should not be here today, you know, and I'm a religious person, you know, so there's a lot more that goes to this to me than just, you know, luck and, but.
Your faith. Yeah. Your faith is very.
Absolutely.
Instrumental in that. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, I lean hard into my faith, you know, and, you know, what I should be doing this bigger, you know.
Yeah.
Than this.
Yeah.
And so I had a lady that I was friends with that was in the safety department. And, you know, we've been talking and stuff because I had done my speak at some events that she was at. And we created a good relationship. And about 3 years went by and I was able to come into the safety side of Ameren and really try to make a difference. And I'm glad because, you know, the company could have said, you know, this guy broke rules. We're just going to get rid of him and, you know what I mean? And he can figure it out. We don't want that type of person here. Very fortunate that they brought me in and said, hey, no, I want you here. I want you talking about what you did, why you did it, and help us figure out how we can make a difference. You know what I mean? And so I thought that was huge. It allowed me to actually try to, you know, help change cultures and make things better.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you were led that way, doors were opened, and so that's awesome. Let's get back to a little bit about the culture. And I know that one of your key messages over time has been about having those difficult conversations. It's not necessarily just, okay, making sure our meetings are going well and we're prioritizing that safety, but the difficult conversations are hard in anywhere. So what makes those conversations so hard in this industry? And how can crews or even one individual get more comfortable speaking up?
Yeah, I mean, pride has a lot to do with that. My wife gigs me all the time about, my pride and arrogancy or whatever it is. You know what I mean? About alignment and we're all proud of what we do.
And
Being
that's
alignment is,
important. I mean, I think I mean that you do an important job. You,
yeah, and not everybody can
so
do it, and you got to be a little
yeah.
bit off, to
Yeah.
be alignment.
So,
But
yeah, I get
well,
the pride and there's a reason for it, but
but and I'm not saying that Ameren had a bad culture,
yeah, I get
but we
that.
can always all be better, right? I mean, we probably always all take chances, and that's when those conversations are tough. You got a 30-year lineman next to you working, who's probably forgot more about line work than you remember, and you're like, hey, hold on, time out. Let's do that different. I think in our territory, incidents, happen, and they do help us to gut check us a little bit. But I would hate to be that person that, watched something happen, didn't say anything, and then something happened. Now, that wasn't necessarily the case the day that I got injured. I should have taken somebody with me to the switch cabinet. I'm not saying that cultures were, bad there and things were, but there were some things that I could have done, that we could have done, that would have been better that day. And it's we try to make it, we try at Ameren, try hard to let everybody know it's okay to speak up. You know what I mean? Stop work authority. We talk about that all the time. And it's easy to say that, but I think people have to understand, coming from the top down and working with your coworkers, and maybe sometimes just taking a time out and having a conversation about the job if you don't understand exactly what's going on,
Yeah, so that was kind of my next question. Like, what would be your advice for being in that moment? And maybe the taking the time out is one of the things you can do because you still want to be respectful, but you're right, kind of thinking about that consequence and watching something, you don't want to watch something happen. So is that kind of what you would say for the advice for like, I'm in this moment, what do I do? Don't be
Yeah, and
scared.
it's easy for me because I've been there. It happened. The thing I never thought would happen happened. I wish I would have brought somebody down with me, that day. Maybe they would have told me to do something different or, whatever. But it's I think it's getting better in the trade. I think it really is. I think the conversations are getting better. I think, the younger linemen coming in are understanding that they have a voice too, it's all about delivery. Right. Every conversation, everything we have is about delivery, right? So it's about in your safety culture, it's teaching those people coming in how to approach that conversation the right way. You know what I mean? I think that's big. And I don't think we talk about that enough in the trade, because any conversation we have in life is based off of how you deliver it, right? It's why, I try to tell my kids, any important conversation you have, try to make a phone call, because text can be taken so many different ways. You know what I mean? I get that with my wife all the time. I have to tell her, hey, I'm sorry, I made you mad. I can see how that happened. I didn't mean to. This is what I meant, but those conversations on the job site, if somebody is questioning something, it has to be delivered the right way as well.
Yeah, and on kind of on the other side, you need to be able to be a person that is able to listen and be respectful of the person that's bringing that to you. So,
Yes, absolutely.
all over the place. So yeah, and I know that some utilities, I know I've talked to Exelon and things like that, and some people there as far as they actually do. That's part of kind of their training too, is that communicating part of it, and so that's really important because that's not
Yeah.
necessarily something you get just coming out of high school or and going to lineman college or doing some climbing school. Maybe there is some of that somewhere. I don't know. Amy Fishback, she knows a lot more about it than I do, but But yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it's how to deliver those conversations, how to
Yeah,
approach
how
each
to,
other. You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
big. That's real big. And I don't think we talk about that enough.
Yeah, I mean, in her whole life, really. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah. So, being chairman of the safety conference for the International Lyman Rodeo, can you speak to any trends or gaps that you're seeing across the industry when it comes to safety culture? You did mention that, some of the younger laymen are seem to be a little bit more willing to, be open
Yeah.
about things like that.
So yeah, I mean, we're the trends I'm seeing at the rodeo are we're moving the needle on everyday recordables. You know what I mean? I think safety is really becoming big, and companies aren't just talking about it, they're actually, trying to back it up. But we're not moving the needle on our high energy stuff. And I think that's why EEI and HECA, is big right now. Because if you look across the trade in the United States, those high energy trends are staying the same. You know what I mean? For 10, 15, 20 years, we're not moving the needle there, And I think they're trying. I think things are coming out. You know what I mean? I think we're getting there. I think companies are doing a good job of getting rid of everyday recordables and incidents, but the stuff that you're going to lose an arm or a foot or your life, maybe, I don't think for some reason we're not moving the needle very well on that yet. And that's something I'm hoping, with my conversations and things I can try to do, that will help.
Yeah, I mean, and it especially with the International Lyman's Rodeo, I mean, we have a lot of linemen that come to that every year, but it's still only a part of the industry, So,
And those people are coming from all over the world,
they
and
are, yeah,
that's
they
what's
are.
awesome about that. I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, and there's so much history there, and tradition, and it's such an awesome family event. You
Yes.
go out to the rodeo, and your women are pump, their kids are in the stroller, and they got their lineman stuff. I mean, it's
Yeah,
awesome. You know, I mean,
it
it
is.
really is. And Kim and her group have really trusted me to help shape the safety conference, and do some different things. And it's getting bigger every year. Last year we had people standing up against the wall. That's how awesome that conference was. Yeah. So, and I'm not
Yeah.
saying I did it. I'm just saying it's
Yeah.
evolving just like everything else. And it is getting better and bigger. And it's really awesome to be a part of, and I'm so glad that I'm able to do it.
It really is. My kids grew up going to Lyman Rodeo. I would take them every year too to watch the Lyman, and they've had, they have the kids events out there. So, yeah, it's such a neat event. I would recommend anybody that can get out to it that in Kansas City in the fall, get out there. So, yeah.
My stepson is actually a lineman for apprentice for Ameren, and I'm hoping, the next year he'll be able to go out there and compete. So that'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, that would be. We'll have to make sure we get him on the podcast, or
Yeah,
the
there we
Line
go.
Life one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are going to be speaking on this topic at TND World Live, as we mentioned, which is in Orlando in September. And like I said, that audience is not just linemen. There may be some there, but it's really various roles at utilities. So, there are managers, executives. What can they learn from your session? Like, what's going to be your message to them at that event?
Well, it's about, the conversations and doing things the right way. And again, that has to come from the top down, and sometimes that may be investing some money, right?
Yeah,
Maybe we
yeah.
need better harnesses, maybe we need better SRLs. Maybe we need to upgrade some of our hand tools, that stuff that guys are asking for. Because I mean, one thing about linemen, they're not afraid to ask for equipment. They see
No,
things
right.
on
Yeah.
TikTok or wherever, and they're not afraid to ask for it. Listen to
Yeah.
what they're asking for. Help reduce the day-to-day stuff, which I think they're doing, but it may cost you a little bit to really start investing in your safety program, right? Invest in training, because to me, training is knowledge. The more we know, the smarter we are. I know we have young linemen coming in from, climbing school or wherever, or college, or but what about the guy who's been out there for 10, 15 years? We need to keep sure we're refreshing those guys, the guys that you're actually depending on to run your crews, and be your general foremans and that kind of stuff. We need to make sure as companies that we're educating those people as well, so that we're keeping them knowledgeable, which they're keeping everybody safe as well.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be great. Looking forward to having you out there, and we'll be out there too. So, Really appreciate that. Anything else you want to add kind of before we wrap up here?
No, the main thing, you know, my whole presentation is about culture and influence, right? We all look to somebody for guidance. I don't care where you're at in your life, in your job, we look to people for guidance, you know, and we all have influence on somebody. Don't be afraid to have a good positive influence on someone, because if not, they may be learning bad traits, you know, from somebody else who's not going to speak up, right? And then the other thing is culture. Don't be afraid to change culture. If you don't start today at your work of business, whatever you're doing, that culture is never going to change. We've got to start sometime. Why not start now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Chad. I appreciate your time today. Thank you for this message of safety that you're getting out. And I do. I look forward to seeing you at T&D World Live and then at the Lineman's Rodeo. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. Be sure to subscribe or follow the Line Life Podcast in your favorite podcasting app, so new episodes will be delivered straight to you. For more insights, you can visit our website at tdworld.com/podcasts or linelife.podbean.com. You can also connect with us by following us on Instagram at Lyman World or on Facebook, LinkedIn, or X. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Lion Life Podcast.